Outcast. I am Carell, coming to you live internationally from the backyard of Park Howard. I know I said I was going to take today off. I said, I'm taking Friday and Monday off. But GED Magazine called me. That's Gay Entertainment Directory. And I write for them sometimes for fun, certainly not for profit. You're a writer, right? Number three worst job in the country, right? Actually, I wrote their whole Pride thing for them last week, and they paid me enough to buy some good pot, so I was good with it. So they asked me if I wanted to talk to Brian Pendleton. Now, Brian Pendleton has done something that I am very proud of, and I already have interviewed him. You're going to hear the audio in a moment. But I did not tell him that he's actually done something I'm very proud of, because, you see, I think Pride festivals get it completely wrong. And on this Memorial Day weekend, as we look ahead, I want to sort of commemorate a gay person who is doing something I think is worthy, which is changing the parade from flatbed trucks and, you know, all of that just ridiculous nonsense. And it is. It's just stupidness. 2 hours of dumb. It really is. Here in Long Beach, I was like, this is stupid. There's nothing to keep you interested. There's no beautiful floats. There's no marching bands. There's no, like, there's just nothing. It's just the same, a lot of the same. But anyway, they're making it a pride rally and a resistance march. And they're going to start at Hollywood and Highland. A very famous Dolby Theater is there with the Oscars, red carpets. They just had the Wonder Woman premiere at the Pantages last night. They're going to start at Hollywood and Highland, and they're going to move over to Santa Monica and Robertson along the way, gathering numbers. Now, hopefully, tens of thousands of people will show up to march. We'll see. But Gay Entertainment Directory is going to be featuring Brian Pendleton in the magazine. I'll be doing the feature. I will let you know when that publishes. By the way, if you want to read all the stuff I wrote about Chaka Khan and Jody Watley and all these people, I'll post the link on my social media, or you can go to Gay Entertainment Directory. It's on the web. GED Mag, Gay Entertainment Directory, .com, and read my stuff there. That's going to be coming up in just a quick second. Before we get to that, though, next Friday, I want to do the readings with Psychic Susie. And I asked you all, if you wanted to talk to her, to leave a message at 213-985-3527. That's 213-985-3527. Once again, there is still time to get your free psychic reading next Friday. You have to be available between 12 and 1240 for a phone call. Next Friday, we will get you on with Psychic Susie. Just call me and leave me your name and phone number or your email address and how to reach you. We have about 15 people that have already responded. I can fit about 20 to 25, depending. So call me, 213-985-3527. Here's someone that's going to be getting a reading here, right here.
Hi, Crow. My name is Karen. I'm watching you on Facebook. Anyway, I heard your segment with Psychic Susie, and I would absolutely love a reading if it's possible. My name is Karen. My number is, and I know you're really busy. I just want to say I absolutely love you. I listen to you always on KGO. I miss you terribly. I live in Tracy. I drove all the way to San Jose, 65 miles, 1/4 of July, to meet you, and you were fantastic. I got pictures with you.
It was hot.
Anyway, I just want to say I love you. And if possible, I would love a reading, having a tough time. My mom passed away in November, and she was my best friend. Anyway, I just want to say I love you, and thank you for everything you're doing.
Well, you're welcome, first of all. And second of all, you, of course, will be getting a reading. If for no other reason, then you sucked up to me. That was the Tapestry Festival. I missed the Tapestry Festival. I used to love the Tapestry Festival. It was a fun thing to do, but now, of course, they don't do that, and KGO doesn't do it, and, no one does it. Who else called me, by the way? Did I get, a lot of solicitor? I love when I get, solicitor calls, and I play them on the radio, because, who knows? These people call you, and they just think, you're going to want to do business with us. No, I'm not. I'm really, this person. Probably Time Warner Cable. I hate them. I hate Spectrum. I hate Time Warner. Once they get your phone number, they never not call. Once they get your phone number, you're doomed. You're going to be robocalled a month from Sundays. Who is this? 213-985-3527. If you want a psychic reading with Psychic Susie.
Hi, Carell. This is Carrie from Los Gatos again. Thank you so much for answering my questions today. I was really happy.
I bet she wants a reading. I'm going to give her one. Absolutely. Now, I know you want me to talk politics today. I know you do. But I'm going to have a real... I'm not even supposed to be working today, you know? And when I woke up and saw the news, it's just also crazy. It really is. And it's all the GOP. It's all their fault. They could end it. They need to end it. He is dangerous. His blatherings are dangerous. Just having him out there in the world representing us is dangerous. It's actually dangerous. And, you know, Hillary spoke today at Wellesley College, where she spoke 50 years ago. And she talked about Watergate and the fallout from Nixon, because remember, Hillary was on Watergate. And, of course, she took a jab at President Trump. Why wouldn't she? Jared Kushner, that evil man. You know that he owns Us Magazine. I believe he either owns People or he's trying to buy People. He owns the National Enquirer. He owns that Next Magazine. This guy controls the tabloids, the lowest of the lowest journalism. And you're like, well, why is that important, Carell? That's because that's where his these people, they unite, these ignorant people. By the way, I'm using a microphone today. I'm so excited. Can I just tell you a little story? About 5 weeks ago, I went out and did something I should not have done, okay? My old producer, Jay Westerling, from KGO Days, works somewhere else now. And he watched one of my Facebook videos, and he said, you got to stop holding the microphone. It looks, you know... I hate people who are on TV and they're holding a microphone or they're at a microphone. It's like putting radio on TV and that's boring. So get a wireless microphone, a lavalier, something. So I bought one of the ones they use on Broadway and they use, and I charged it like I had the money. But it was $200 and I felt horrible. Oh my God, $200. I don't spend $200 on anything these days. But anyway, so I bought it, right? Thinking it's for your show. You need it. It's going to upgrade the video. I get it home, and I say, I have the transmitter packs. No need to worry. I have the transmitter packs. They're like $1,800 for all four packs. I can't find them. Through all the downsizings I've done over the last 5 years, all the everything, since not using them every night for KGO, I can't find them. I searched everywhere. They're either gone or in a different dimension. And so I let the $200 microphone sit and stare at me for 5 weeks, poking at me, saying, ha, 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 ha. And there was no way to use it without going wireless. That's what it's made for. So I thought, 2 days ago, I thought, you know what? Either return the damn microphone, which is what you should do, or if you're really going to do this upgrade and use it on your TV show as well, then buy a transmitter pack. And so I did. I got the most affordable one there is, and I got 6 months, same as cash, thank God. So $50 a month for 6 months. And it's working. And I'm using it today. And it's so liberating. Oh, my God. I feel like Janet Jackson. I want to be the one in control. Because it's just like that kind of microphone. It's just right there in front of my face. Want to take you by the hand. I can't wait till y'all see it on Tuesday. Control. Maybe I'll do a little Janet Jackson for you on Tuesday. Yeah, because I'm quickly moving from poor to poor as frack. The PAF. Oh, yes. I've invented that. I invented a lot. Google Trumptonia, and my show comes up. I have invented the term Trumptonia, which is where we're all living now. We are in the land of Trumptonia, and these are Trumptonian times. In years to come, that's how they're going to call it. We are in Trumptonian times. They are dark, they are horrible, and they could become devastating. 28 dead? What? Let's do a little look at the headlines today on Friday, since I'm not going to be doing a show. 28 dead as gunmen fire on bus carrying Coptic Christians. What is a Coptic? Excuse my ignorance. What's a Coptic Christian? Someone who cops a field all the time? That's what it sounds like. A Coptic Christian. They can't just be a Christian. They got to be a Coptic Christian. What the hell? It's also crazy. Someone posted some Bible verse today. A gay friend of mine. He posted some Bible verse. And you know what? It disgusts me now. Sorry. It just does. I think you're insane. Not if you look at the book as a book of stories to live a better life. If you look at God as something outside of ourselves that we can't understand. Maybe it's a universal energy. Maybe it's a deity. Maybe whatever. But we don't know. We can't understand it because it's not in our realm of consciousness. If that's how you are, I'm fine with you. You know, if you truly believe in a white man on a pedestal and a book with your name in it and all of that, then I'm sorry, you're insane. So you believe in a fairy tale. You've been sold a lie. And I'm sorry you've been sold that lie. Anyway, he posted a Bible verse. And you know what I said under it? I said, the guy who just did the bombing in Manchester, he's religious too. So it all looks the same to me now. And if you're someone that's called a Coptic Christian, then you're probably so far into the religious belief, I think you're crazy. You shouldn't die, though. They shouldn't blow you up. And I don't know why they're... I guess Christians in the Middle East are bad. They're like Muslims in America. So, you know, sort of a fair trade-off, I guess. Muslims are killed and treated like dirt here, and then they treat Christians like dirt there. Okay. I mean, I'm not okay, but this is how the crazy world works, right? This is the bizarre... A congressman beat a reporter up. A congressman beat a... That man should... They should say, no, we're going to leave the seat open until the next election. We're not letting this guy seat in Congress. We're sorry. He's coming here with an assault charge. No, we're not. Sorry. Two-thirds of the state had already voted prior. Revote. See, this is my whole problem with the damn election we just did. We knew Barack Obama and his administration, a little distorted there, but Barack Obama and his administration knew that Russia was meddling, and we had the election anyway. So yesterday, they knew that this information was going to change the votes. They should have said all mail-in votes are being thrown away. If you want to vote, you have to come in today. They should have done something to make sure it was honest and real, and that we didn't send a man who attacked a journalist. Do I have to go back to the point that it is the only profession guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States? Need I go back to that, people? Oh, I'm standing up. I'm walking around. I'm wireless. This is fun. Oh, I could even go outside. But need I remind y'all? He attacked a journalist. He attacked the most sacred institution outside of the church that we have, the only one in the First Amendment. Freedom of the press, freedom of religion. Okay? He attacked a sacred institution, a journalist. Yes, they work in a revered institution in our country. Our founders felt so strongly they put it in the document. So don't give me this, he should go off to Congress. He shouldn't. Every Republican on the Hill should denounce him. He should get no appointments anywhere. And in 2 years, he should be voted right out of there. But we won't. We allow so much. Well, I don't, Carell. You're right. The GOP does. You tolerate them, though. Coming up in the interview I'm going to be doing with Brian Pendleton about the resistance march going on in Los Angeles, June 11th. Join us if you can. I tell him the same thing. It's like, I know who the enemy is. It's the GOP. There's just no mistake about it. So I got to tell you, the headlines are starting to get a little upsetting, aren't they? All right, we're going to do one more segment, and then we're going to go to the interview, and then I'm out of here. I'm not doing a show Monday, okay? And it's all right, and he's coming on. You got to listen right now in his little free app. You got to listen right now in his little free app. All you got to do is go to any app store of your choice and download the Carell Cast, and you've got all of me, honey. It is the Carellcast. I am Carell. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Coming up, we're going to talk with someone who has decided to change the very nature of the Gay Pride Parade in Los Angeles, one of the biggest in the country. Will it affect San Francisco? Will it affect New York? Will it affect Miami, who are having their parade this weekend? Will it be something for the future? I'm going to sit down and talk with him for Gay Entertainment Directory, which is in one third of the country now, and I'm in a lot. I'm in it a lot. Full page ad, plus I do a lot of writing for them. So if you'd like to go to their website, gedmag.com, you can read a lot of what I do. If you're gay, it's a great way to... They do national news and San Francisco, Palm Springs, all over the place. It's a fun little magazine. I can't read it, by the way, just so you know. I can't read the magazine that I'm in. I can't. They do it 8.5 by 11 folded to 5.5 by 8.5, which means the type is like 10 point, and I'm 54. We need a big print gay magazine for older gays. I ain't making that up. We really do. Or they need to make it available via PDF so I can download it onto my iPad and blow it up. So, yeah. Anyway, I think they do, by the way. They do. So but I just can't go out in a bar and pick it up and read it, or any magazine for that, because I don't wear my glasses out, so it's all a blur. Anyway, so that's coming up next. We just talked about some of the headlines of the day, which is ridiculous. I just can't even take it. You know, I mean, there's still the fallout from NATO. We have the first lady in the... By the way, can I just talk about the first lady in her $50,000 coat today? I don't begrudge Melania or Melanoma or whatever, Mulsanne Squirrel. I don't begrudge her high fashion. I want the first lady of the United States to be ragged effing down, okay? I loved when Michelle Obama brought out the gowns, baby, with the trains. I'm talking red carpet crap, okay? I love that. She's the first frickin' lady. I agree with Ava Perón on that. They need to adore me. Christian Dior me. But I believe that they should stick with American designers, okay? So Dolce & Gabbana and all that, no. And that's what Melanoma likes. So she was wearing this $50,000 coat, and the more expensive the garment, the uglier it is. That's the rule of fashion. If you pay a whole hell of a lot for something, ugly as sin. Get it from a thrift store, everyone's going to adore it. That's the rule of fashion, I'm telling you right now. That $50,000 coat looked like a group of first graders got together with crepe paper and a pencil and glue. Remember when you used to take some crepe paper, colored paper, put a pencil, put it over the end of a pencil, put a little glue, and then stick it on something? Remember, you'd make turkeys or whatever you would make to pin on the refrigerator door and embarrass yourself in years to come, and your mother would bring it out. The macaroni's been eaten by boll weevils, you know, that kind of stuff. Anyway, that's what her dress looked like. It looked like someone blind went with some fabric and just pinned it onto a coat. Very colorful, I have to say, out around in Spain. And she was smiling because Donald's not there. She never smiles in his presence, ever. Speaks volumes, neither do we. So anyway, I don't begrudge her the fashion. I don't. I do not begrudge Melania, or Melanoma fashion. And I don't know who pays for it. You know, the White House furnishings are paid for by the White House Historical Society, and they fundraise privately. I wonder if Michelle's gowns, or because Nancy Reagan, come on, we're talking about budgets, baby. Nancy wore Chanel. She wore Prada. She wore Nancy rag down. So, you know, picking on Melania for the expense of her clothes, the $4 million ring in the portrait, the official portrait, that was too much. I'm sorry. That was too much. A $4 million ring in your official first lady's portrait. No. But running around in Spain in a cute coat that happens to cost 50 grand, I have no problem with that. Although the median income in America is the price of the jacket. And that's what everybody is like. The median income in America is the price of the coat that Melanoma wore this morning in Spain. Yeah. Our median income is the price of her coat. All that means is those designers are overrated and the coat is overpriced. You could find that coat in a thrift store for $5. I'm telling you, you probably will in 20 years. You will find that $50,000 coat over at the Out of the Closet thrift store for $25. Because ain't no one going to think it's a $50,000 coat looking that ugly. But she should use American designers. Other than that, I don't care how much she spends. I really don't. He's rich, first of all. Okay, he's a billionaire. So if she wants to go spend his money on clothes, go. Go do it, Melanoma. You rag down, sister. Because I prefer she cover up. I've seen enough of her. Okay, really. I think we all prefer the first lady now wear clothing. We have all seen the alternative, and we're done with it. Oh, I know some of you straight guys are like, oh, no, no, no. Ick, poo. And, you know, it's funny. He never grabs her by her kitty cat, does he? Anyway, so I prefer she be clothed. Let her wear a lot of, you know, and by the way, I don't think Michelle's dresses were cheap. $5,000, $10,000, $25,000. You know, I don't think they were cheap. I don't. And some of it's on loan, by the way. Like, Melanoma might not have paid 50 grand for that. They could have loaned it to her to wear, and then she gives it back. That happens quite a bit. Because, as you see, the entire world is talking about a freaking jacket today. Great. Great. That's just, what are the busiest, what's the top stories like in the Bay Area at the SF Gate? What are you talking about up there in the Bay Area? Let's take a look at that, shall we? That's always encouraging. No, I guess we won't. I won't pull up. Honey, your boots might be made for walking, but are they made for riding? Don't forget, whenever you're riding on two or three wheels, you must gear up every ride, and that means riding boots, which guard against nasty exhaust berms and other injuries. GearUpEveryRide.com reminds you, boots and gloves. Stronger, stronger, come along and join with me, yeah. Stronger, stronger, don't you fear diversity now. Stronger, stronger, Carellcast. I am Carell. Yes, that is the new single, Stronger Together. Yes, it is going to be released. Don't bother me about it. It comes out next week. We're doing a Pride special for Free Speech TV for my TV show, Life in Segments, and that video will be debuted. Thea Austin from Snap is in it. I'm in it. Morgan Mallory, of course, from The Voice, and my friend Daniel Charleston. Stronger Together for the season of Pride. Let's get out there and march in the streets, and that's what my next guest is all about. Now, a lot of you know that I have a love-hate relationship with Pride organizations and with Pride. If you've read my books or my columns, you know that I haven't always been a friend of the Pride organizations or the marches. I think they missed the point. This year, however, perhaps we're getting back to the point. Brian Pendleton, entrepreneur, but more importantly, LA Pride board member, is here with us. We are talking about the June 11th Resistance March. Now, some of you might have heard about this because there are others going on that day. But if you live in Los Angeles, you know, or should know by now, or that's why we're doing this, that the Gay Pride Parade, the actual parade itself, is going to be replaced with a Resistance March. So there'll still be a parade of sorts. It'll just be a march. I don't really know the difference. Maybe one has different music. But Brian Pendleton is here to tell us that difference and why the parade has switched from a gay pride parade into a resistance march, what the differences will be, and the particulars. Brian, let's start at the top. You're on the board of LA Pride, SCSW, and when did the determination happen that you were going to change the parade from a parade with floats and, you know, flatbed trucks and half-naked men to more of a resistance march and more of a political statement and more of a show of equality and rights as opposed to a, let's say, celebration?
You know, actually, it started long before I ever became a board member of LA Pride. I simply, on my own Facebook page, where I normally get the same 50 likes from the same 50 friends, in late January, posted on my Facebook page that I wanted to see this year's parade changed into a march for human rights. Parades are for progress, but we have a lot of issues coming our way, and so I posted that on my Facebook page, and we got 33,000 likes in less than a week. So we were clearly onto something. We had hit a nerve. I think a lot of people out there thought that maybe we could do something a little bit more poignant for our community, and so now we're marching. And so subsequently, after speaking with city leadership and the folks on the LA Pride board of directors, I decided that it would be better to join them and do this with them rather than the sort of march a parade right up the backside of a parade. So we're starting this year at Hollywood and Highland, which is sort of where the first ever LA Pride parade took place in 1970. In fact, one of our first supporters was the Reverend Troy Perry, who co-founded Christopher Street West, and he said that now is the time for us to take to the streets and march.
Right. Well, I actually was lucky enough to know Troy and a lot of people, Morris Kite, and my God, I've been involved for a while. But anyway, let me ask this. This seems, well, first of all, what are you resisting? It's a resistance march. What are you resisting?
We're resisting a lot of things, and it's not who we're resisting, it's what we're resisting. We're resisting the over 100 anti-LGBT laws that are going through state assemblies right now. We're resisting the idea that our federal administration has appointed people that have been outspoken against LGBT issues.
Well, yeah,
we're resisting
Brian Pendleton is my guest, founder of the Resistance March, June 11th, yes, in Los Angeles. Let me ask you this. You say you're not protesting the who, but the what. I'm going to call bullcrap on that because the what comes directly from one who. It's not a variety of who's. It is the GOP who has enabled the oligarch, Donald Trump, in a coup funded in part and negotiated in part by the Russian government, which occurred in 2016. Once the coup occurred, the guy in power put the oligarchs that he wanted into his cabinet, the richest cabinet we've ever had, and the GOP Congress has rubber stamped it. it. They have an state on state measures and as well as federal measures. The GOP has pretty much rubber stamped anything to come out of this administration so far, from bathroom bills to just on down the line. And it is all the GOP. There are not Democrats out there trying to do any of this. There are not independents out there trying to do any of this. There are not Green Party members out there trying to do any of this. It is, in fact, the GOP. They are the enemy of the gays and of the state, period.
And then bring that energy to Hollywood and Highland on Sunday, June 11th, and let people know that that's how you feel. I am with you, and I'm hoping that you're with us.
Well, yeah, and that's not how I feel, though. That's a fact. I mean, and if we're going to have a resistance march, let's actually tell the people the truth. I mean, we know who the enemy is. It's the GOP.
And fantastic.
It's a very well-funded enemy.
I support you 100%.
And they are coming for us.
They're coming for us from all directions. And they're not just coming for the traditional us, the bathroom bills or the anti-gay things. We're a gigantic intersectional group. When they defund Planned Parenthood, they defund, you know, access to medical care for our lesbian community.
Right.
When they stop letting immigrants into the country, that disproportionately impacts us or Chechens who are trying to escape being executed.
Well, we're not granting them visas. I maintained about 3 weeks ago, I told our governor, our vice governor, and my mayor here in Long Beach, who's also gay, that no Pride Festival should actually have festivities, that all Pride Festivals this year should go back to the original spirit of Stonewall and the original spirit of resistance, because as we party and drink, even today, as we sit talking right now, as we speak, someone is being tortured in Chechnya for being gay.
Absolutely.
And as we speak, the Rainbow Railroad out of Canada is trying to get those people out of Chechnya and into Russia, where they're hoping to get them some sort of asylum in another country. We are refusing them visas. And a lot of these people are Muslim. People forget that Chechnya is a very large Muslim area. In fact, it is a Muslim community. And so, you know, these immigrants that are coming out of the area, they're gay, but they're also Muslim, probably. And so that presents a myriad of problems for these poor immigrants. And yet we're denying them visas. Canada is talking about taking them in. There's a few other countries that are saying, no, if you can get out of Chechnya, we're going to take them in. But I feel it's incumbent on American gays at this point, because we do have some rights. I mean, some. And I think it's incumbent on us right now to support the Chechens, to support the Nigerians and Ugandans who are being killed for being gay, and support them with money. And
I can tell you that I'm very proud of the marchers who have signed up for Resist March. We did post on our Facebook page the Rainbow Railroad fundraising page, and we raised a lot of money, and we still should raise a lot more money. I agree with you.
What is the Facebook page for the Resistance March?
Resist March LA is the Facebook page, but most importantly, I would say go to resistmarch.org to get information about the march.
Okay, and by the way, people, just so you know, prior to Stonewall, there were two riots out here on the West Coast. This is prior to, in 1967 and in 1965, there were riots here in both Los Angeles County and Orange County for gay and lesbian rights. So it's not like...
And I'm proud to say that Alexei Romanov is going to be our March Grand March, who really was one of the founders of the riots of the Black Cat, you know, protesting police brutality and police violence. And
right.
He's going to be with us on Sunday, and I'm proud of that fact.
Oh, absolutely. You know, having come up in the gay community of Southern California since got here in 1974, five, how, whatever, having, you know, come up in the community and seeing all the activists and all the changes that have gone on. Now, let me ask you, festivals across the country should be doing this with the Resist March, at least. Or retooling their festivals this year because we are under attack from both Trump and his oligarchs and the evangelicals who support this unholy man. And we're under attack around the globe. So let me ask you, how do we get other Pride organizers to refocus some of their events to be more educational and politically active and a little less celebratory at this time of crisis?
Look, I'm incredibly proud of what's gone on here. I mean, if you look around the country, this city is calling it authentically what it is, a resist march. We've got unity marches, we've got gathering marches, we've got unicorn marches. Here we are resisting. And I think that's starting to spread a little bit. I heard that the New York Pride Parade, which through negotiation decided to have the first contingent of their parade be resistance. Okay. And I'm very proud of that. The reason that happened is because of what we did here in Los Angeles. It's the authentic message of resistance. Of course, wherever the LGBTQ community gathers, we tend to draw strength from each other and we tend to celebrate, but we are calling it a resist march.
Now, let me ask you this. I was reading the... What was I reading? It wasn't fake news, I promise. It was real. it really was. The WeHoville, which is real. And in it, they had interviewed some business owners who were very concerned that in changing at the last moment, for instance, because this wasn't like all year long. Of course, we didn't know it was going to get this bad this fast. They're concerned that, A, starting it at Hollywood and Highland's going to take people off the street in the mornings. They usually eat breakfast and they have, you know, they do business. B, if it's a march and not a parade, are people going to stick around and party? So there are business owners who are very concerned about the commercial effect this is going to have on the city of West Hollywood, where a lot of people there, this is kind of like their Black Friday. Pride is kind of like their big part of the year. So let me ask you, how do you address those business owners who are concerned that this resistance march may cut into their revenues?
Look, first of all, I definitely feel for those businesses, and I am working very hard to support them. But if I look at the balance, human rights, or if I've sold enough coffee today, I think human rights is what matters.
Do you think?
But I will say
this: do you think it will affect them?
Because you're working your way over to the Santa Monica Boulevard,
and
is fake news. Yeah. They were able to find one pizza owner who said he was going to sell less pizza with 200,000 more people in town, and then the headline was. The business community is split. That's not. Look, I love WeHoville. They do great stories and great news, but that I don't think I wasn't a particular fan of that. The West Hollywood Chamber of Commerce came on early and supported us. If you go down Santa Monica Boulevard, if you go down Hollywood Boulevard, you'll see plastered in over 200 business windows stickers that say "We support Resist March."
There are probably a few stores
that are concerned they're going to sell less, but if you just take a cue from what the women in the Women's March did.
Yeah.
All those businesses sold more stuff.
Oh, yeah. And they're very happy with the outcome of that. Now, let me ask you, the march starts Hollywood Highland. It ends over at the festival grounds, correct?
It ends on Santa Monica Boulevard past the festival grounds near Robertson.
And how many people are you... you obviously have to plan, so you have to come up with some sort of number that you think may be attending. How many people do you think are going to attend?
Look, we have no idea how many people are coming, but I will tell you that we're putting a stage near Robertson. We're building big outdoor LED screens that go all the way down to Hancock. So if you can't make it to the stage, you'll still be able to see what's going on. But while we're on this topic, and this is where I need your help.
Okay, so hold on. You need my help. So you got to give me just a second. It is CorelCast. I am Corel. My website, of course, reallycorel.com. We are speaking with Brian Pendleton. He is the founder of sorts. I mean, he's the person who came up with the idea, and then he got others on board to do the Resistance March on June 11th, replacing the Gay Pride Parade in Los Angeles, which I'm all for, by the way. We'll be back right after this.
You know, when I say The Carell Show needs you, I'm not joking. We are supported through Patreon. Patreon is this great website where you can go and you can pledge however much per month to the show that you feel we deserve. $4.99 is recommended, but you can give more. Go to reallycorel.com and just click.
We've been living in the dark for much too long.
It is The Crowdcast. I am Corel. Stronger Together, available starting next week. That remix out of Israel by Shahaf Moran. I hope you like it. All right, we have Brian Pendleton here, and he is the organizer of the Resist March, and he was going to tell us that he needs some help. On June 11th, they are replacing the Los Angeles Gay Pride Parade with the Resist March. Let me ask you this, by the way. Since you did do this sort of close to the event, Did you get any backlash from people who are like, but wait a minute, we already built a float, we already have our costumes, we've already, you know, did anyone in the community say, whoa, or were they all just like, hell yes, let's do this?
Look, I mean, of course, anytime an idea is in the public realm, people are going to have differing opinions.
Right.
But I would say largely the people are incredibly supportive of this.
Right.
You know, the LA Pride organization, Christopher Street West, got out to all of those traditional, float makers and said,
right,
look, you know, join us for free this year. And I posted this idea on January 26th. I don't think there were many floats that had been built by then.
Yeah, no, not for a gay pride parade. One of my biggest problems. It's like, let's just throw some, we're the most creative sector of all humankind, and our pride,
right,
parades pale. They're nothing like the Rose Parade or in Ireland. I do the St. Patrick's Day Parade over there in Dublin, and our parades are so crappy compared to those parades. And I think, why? We're the most creative people on the planet. Why can't not every float and not every, I'm generalizing. There's a lot of good stuff in the parade.
It's because being creative is our day job.
That's exactly right. Come to a parade, like, I do not want to get a hot glue gun and just sit there and beat this damn float.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, is this something that you're interested in making a tradition or, well, at least for the next 4 years, possibly eight, or no, not eight, maybe the next just 4 months of things, you know, Russia, Russia, Russia. It's always Russia, Russia, Russia. So do you plan on making this a tradition? In other words, would LA Pride consider going back to the roots of Stonewall and what the first Pride, because, you know, I hate the term Happy Pride, Brian Pendleton. It drives me crazy because you don't say Happy Riot. And Stonewall was a riot, and we're commemorating a riot where people were injured. So I always say Remember Pride. It's a much better sentiment. Remember what happened that day. Yes, you can celebrate their you know, final accomplishments, but remember the event. It's not a happy event. The Pride celebrations are a commemorative event. They commemorate an organization. They're not necessarily a celebratory event. And we have gotten the two mixed up with commercialism. And you are spitting in the face of the formula that makes Pride works, which is dance tent, beer sponsorship, half-naked men on beer trucks going down the street. You're sort of disrupting that this year. I think that's...
But isn't it incredible
that
we've come so far that, you know, that Disney and Paramount are willing to have people on the back of their floats throwing condoms into the audience? I mean, we fought for decades for that. We should be really proud of our accomplishment that to a certain degree we've normalized ourselves.
I'd be
prouder
if the Disney and the Wells Fargo people come and march in your resistance march. Then I'll be prouder of them.
You know, I agree with you, and so let's talk a little bit about that. I don't want their money for Resist March. No one wants Resist March brought to you by Acme Incorporated. It's just not interesting, and it'll make people feel like their message has been co-opted.
Yes.
But they had better let their people come out and march. If they do not, they will have lost sight of what this is about.
Exactly.
And I'm very concerned about the messaging I'm hearing from our large corporations in Southern California specifically about not wanting to let their people march in a First Amendment march. They'll air the Democratic National Convention, and they'll air the Republican National Convention, but they won't let their employees come march. And I think that is a huge problem, and I'd love for you to focus on that.
Not only is it a huge problem, it seems like a violation of the rights of the workers.
And so back to my request, if you could give me just a second,
yeah,
and that
ahead.
Is... I love our brothers and sisters in West Hollywood, and I know that they'll be out late the night before, but I'm desperately asking everyone to please join us at Hollywood and Highland. Don't join us along the way. Don't wait for us to get all the way into West Hollywood. The imagery of uniting together as a gigantic organization happens on Hollywood Boulevard, the birthplace of LA Pride. So we have buses taking people there. People can walk. People can use ride sharing.
The red line.
There's a million ways for people to get there, but it's my request that they don't join us along the way, that they join us at the start.
Well,
they
can red line, they can Uber. I mean, my God, you know, come on. It's Hollywood. Hollywood and Highland. It's one of the most visible entertainment complexes in the world. Brian Pendleton, thank you so much for joining me today, and good luck with the Resistance March. Everyone, 8 a.m. Hollywood and Highland. Be there, be square. I'll be there blasting Stronger Together so we can all march stronger together. Thank you so much.
We are Stronger Together.
I'll send you the song. I'll send you the actual song so you can have it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me today.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time.
I am Carell. Be who you want to be. So long. It doesn't hurt anybody.
The best TV show available is now available to binge watch. That's right. Life in Segments, season 1, 2, and 3 are all available on demand at lifeinsegments.com. Go there now. All money raised, by the way, supports the show.
You're listening to The Carell Show. Carell.
Oh, it is the Carell Cast. I am Carell. I'd like to thank my guest, Dave O'Connor. Don't forget to tune into Nat Geo to Year Million. It's really interesting. They sent me screeners. I don't remain as optimistic about Year Million. I don't know that humans are good for another couple hundred years. I really don't. We're not behaving well. I don't want to, you know, it's Gay Pride weekend, and I'm going to participate a little more than I normally do because I think it's important to show that we are stronger together, and that's the truth. I think we are under attack again, both worldwide and here in the United States. I think our rights are precarious at best, and I think any gay person that sits back and says it's time to party and everything's okay is stupid. And I'm going to go out and remind them of that this weekend. I'm going to do it in a nice way. But I'm going to be out there reminding people we got a long, long way to go, you know, a long way to go before we get to any place where we need to be. Women still have a long way to go. Blacks still have a long way to go. Hispanics have a long way to go. Asians have a long way to go. Every minority has a long way to go, particularly in America. You know, maybe not elsewhere, maybe not in other countries. In some countries, even further. In Uganda and other places, gays have so much further to go. We're being killed there, you know, and it's okay. We're being jailed and it's okay. You know, we have a long way to go. So we've come a long way in this country, and I'm glad for it. But that being said, now is not the time to rest. And while we do party this weekend amongst each other and love each other and share in the spirit of joy and happiness and remember Stonewall, remember those drag queens and those butch lesbians and those transgendered individuals who threw down the gauntlet to those police on the evening of Judy Garland's funeral. You remember that. You remember. But that wasn't until next month. So Long Beach does ours early, and so I'm not going to really go into my whole pride spiel about the history of it and everything until next month. You guys can hear me do it then. But I would like to just say as we start the season of pride that if you are gay and you're listening to me, do not rest, okay? This is no time for rest. And yes, piss people off and be militant. You know what? During AIDS under Reagan, we weren't nice. Okay? We couldn't be. People were dying. Well, they're dying in Chechnya, and I just found out that the United States is not granting visas to Chechenian gays who have requested asylum, that have made it out of Chechnya into Russia, and now they have to flee, and we're not granting them visas. Our good friends that we can share intelligence with, that we could just, you know, basically, you know, do anal sex with in the Oval Office privately, you know, that's okay, but we can't. You know, we have the biggest bromance in the world between Trump and Putin, but we cannot allow gays in from Russia that have escaped Chechnya. They've gotten away from the concentration camps, and now they're trying to flee to our country, and we won't let them. We're not granting them visas. That story broke in the New York Times 3 days ago. No one is paying attention. No one cares. I care. You care. But politically, nobody cares. Nobody. Gavin Newsom probably cares, but he's lieutenant governor. That can't do a whole lot. I'm sure Pete Wilson would care if he was told about it. And, you know, I maybe California could grant them visas. I don't know. Maybe we could just tell the federal government we're going to take them in, whether you like it or not. You know, they're going to come to LAX and we are going to escort them off the planes and we are granting them asylum. I don't know what it's going to take. Maybe it will take a mayor. You know, remember when Gavin Newsom said, I'm going to stand up for marriage equality and I'm going to issue licenses, whether it's legal or not. Maybe we need a mayor of a city or a governor of a state to say, I'm going to take the Russians. I'm going to take every gay Russian that wants to come and live in my state. They can come here. Maybe it's going to take that. I don't know. I don't know. I do know that nobody cares that when it comes to people of power. And even the powerful gays, all they care about is fundraising. If I see every time something happens in politics, I get 100 emails from the Democrats and the gays saying, give me money. Every time. No, I know I ask for money. I do. But I'm doing something for you. The Democrats have been asking for money since Hillary Clinton ran for president. And what have they done for me lately? Nothing. 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 You know, the country is in crisis, disarray, and despair. So, you know what? Give to me. Don't give to them. You want to give to a gay organization? Give to the Carell cast. You know? Forget GLAAD. Forget EQ. You know, forget all these others that are out there. Forget them. I do more for gay rights than they do because I get in people's faces. You know, I remind everybody every day that listens, whether it's in person or on this, you know, on my podcast or whatever, hey, they're dying in Chechnya. You know, we're not granting visas. I'm here. I'm doing it, child. Oh, but it is Friday. I film Life in Segments later today. We're going to film at the Harvey Milk Park at 10:45. There's an 11 o'clock induction. Some people that I know. It's for a segment from my Gay Pride special for Free Speech TV. The segment is called Where is Harvey? It's about the spirit of Harvey Milk. Where is that spirit? I don't think it exists in many gays today. I don't think they even know what that spirit was. And I think a lot of the gays today would actually disagree with Harvey Milk. You know, I'm going to be in the Harvey Milk Plaza. Do most of them know that he was for outing people? That he felt, you know, it was his responsibility if someone was in the closet to push them out, if they were in public, that is. You know, his famous quote, if a bullet should enter my brain, let it destroy a thousand every closet door. You know, he was against closets. Did you know that one of his most famous quotes is more people have died in the name of religion and religious persecution than any other cause? I call that a perversion. When someone asked about him being perverted. Yo, yeah. Harvey Milk was politically incorrect. He was in your face. He was confrontational, and it all started with dog poo. His whole career. He tried and tried to, you know, Watergate. It's amazing. Harvey Milk was born of our time right now. There is, you know, there's a Harvey in training out there somewhere because Harvey was furious at the Watergate scandal. He did, in 73, he was furious at it. And so he wanted to run for counsel for something. You know, all you think he was a San Francisco native. No. Harvey Milk produced plays, you know, and one of the plays he produced was Hair, the musical, and it toured in San Francisco. And he went there with the play and fell in love with San Francisco and went back in 72. When he was already, 42 years old? Because he was born in 1930. Yeah, so he didn't move to San Francisco until much later in his life. He died at 48. He only lived there for like 6 years, I think. And yet he's like a San Francisco sort of icon. But he didn't live there his whole life. Anyway, so I know a lot about Harvey. I know he died in November in 78, it was, right? At the hands of Dan White. Moscone died as well. It was a terrible time. And I still think gays that are public stand as much, how do I say this? I think many gays are, myself and others, are in just as much risk these days, depending upon where we are. Maybe not in San Francisco City Hall, but we're still in danger in this country. And really, around the nation, around the world, you know, it's still not always safe to be me, right, Ember? You want to come up? You want to say hi? Today is Friday, Ember. It's a Friday show. It's Gay Pride weekend. You're going to go out. Let me get down here and be with you. You're going to go out. You're going to meet lots of gays this weekend. She's going with me to the Harvey Milk Park this morning because Harvey had tried and tried and tried to get into politics, and he failed. And then he took up the local issues, and one of the biggest local issue that he hit on was dog poop. The Castro and other areas of San Francisco, people, you know, that lived in these apartments and stuff weren't picking up after their pets. So he started a law that is still in effect today in San Francisco and has been emulated in almost every city across the country, which is the poop law, that if your pet poops, you got to pick it up. It's the law, or you can be fined. That's Harvey Milk. He did that. He made that a law, that if your dog or cat, well, your cat wouldn't, but if your dog poops, or your cat, if you're whatever you're walking, you know, your husband, whatever, if something poops in someone else's yard and you don't pick it up, you are in violation. Right, Amber? So it was a little doggy like you and your little poo that really inspired Harvey to go and run on that issue, and that issue took hold. And people, you know, thought that was a great issue. And the next thing you know, Harvey was elected. So he basically was elected finally because of dog poo. He owes it to puppy poo. We owe it to puppy poo for him. Think if he had never gotten elected. Think if a world without him, it would have been horrible. So this Gay Pride weekend, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to interview people about where's the spirit of Harvey Milk. And, you know, if you think it's alive and well, I don't know. Oh, up we go, Ember. Up we go. I don't know that it is or isn't. I don't think it is. I think gays have gotten as lazy as everybody else. I think, you know, a gay organization wouldn't say anything that would piss off possible donors or fundraisers or advertisers. I think gay clubs have become beholden to, you know, everything. Like, look what's on TV now that they're lauding as gay programming. Something about the Abbey. Life at the Abbey. It's on Logo, I think, or it's on some Viacom CBS-owned thing. And it's just these disgustingly pumped up, shallow, ridiculously horrible individuals. And they're supposed to be the representation of gay life? No. No, they're not. They're no more than Jersey Shore was a representation of real, you know, real life. It's just ick. Our gay programming sucks, quite frankly. We have everyone applauds RuPaul and RuPaul's Drag Race. You know what? I'm not a fan of RuPaul. I'm sorry, I'm not. I've heard way too much. I've experienced way too much behind the scenes with RuPaul. Myself, personally, firsthand. And then seen and heard other people tell stories very similar to what I experienced when I opened for him at a club in, where were we, Houston, Texas, you know, and I was his opening act, and so I interacted with him for 2 days, and trust me, you know, not a nice individual. Maybe he was just having a bad weekend, but he was not a nice individual. So is that Ken calling? Ken was just calling me. Isn't that sweet? Friends calling, not knowing I'm doing an early show because we got things to do. We got to film, got to do stuff. Because in the mornings, you know, it's the Ken and Karen call. Oh, yes. The KKK call. That's what we do in the mornings. But now I'm doing my show for you because I get to go film today. It's a blessing, really. I mean, you know, I act like it's a big, oh, my God, I've got to go film. What a blessing. Huh? I'm going to go down there to the Harvey Milk Park at 10:45. And, you know, talk to the people, talk to the mayor, talk to me about Spirit of Harvey Milk. 12:30, we come back to the house, and Ember starts her charm school today. We have a dog trainer that's going to work with our show. And one of the biggest problems that I'm having, and I know that a lot of you have too, is two things. One, she will not always come when called. She gets defiant and just stands there and won't come. Or two, she will uncontrollably bark sometimes. She will bark, and I will let Ember stop, and she will not stop. She'll just look at me and keep right on barking. And now she's taken to coming in the kitchen and just barking at me if I'm at the sink. And she won't stop. I'll turn around and say, stop. She won't. I'll end up having to put her in the bathroom. So those are problems. That's a problem, uncontrolled barking. She'll be in the backyard, and she'll be barking at something legitimately. And I'll say stop because I've seen it or I've been alerted or whatever, and she won't stop. She'll just, you know, keep barking at it. So those are problems. Those are problems a lot of dog owners have. And I, you know, I myself am going to try to correct them, and by doing so, allow you to see and correct them too through the show. So isn't that going to be fun? So that's at 12:30. Then at 3 o'clock, we are going to film a thing with a realtor where we take the median income of my city and we find out what 1/3 of that is, and we go look at properties that you could actually afford to live in. We're going to do this in Long Beach, Las Vegas, San Diego, San Luis Obispo, and hopefully a place in the Bay Area where we go there and we just use the numbers. 1 and 2 income family homes, and we're going to go look at what you can really afford to live in. So season 4 of Life in Segments is really going to be about America and how, you know, we're being priced out of it. Our own country is slipping right through our fingers, and it's really easy to fix. I want to show that in season 4, too, that there's some common sense things that we can do to fix it. If you'd like to support all of this goings on, we need the budget. So please go to reallycarell.com and click on GoFundMe, and any donation would help. We're in production right now. So yes, help, please. Help, help, help. Ah! If I need it in the morning or the afternoon, I ain't too proud to beg, and I'm not, honey. I need your support all day, every day at Patreon. How about giving us $5 a month to support the show? Just go to reallycarell.com and click on the patron logo right there. It is the Carellcast. I am Carell. Without being flippant, let me just say, on this Gay Pride weekend here in Long Beach, May 19th, Friday, thank my guest Dave O'Connor, by the way, from Nat Geo. Please watch the show. I need to tell the universe, and I'll tell it here on the show. Universe, in order for season four of Life in Segments to really happen, I need a budget of $5,000. Now, that's 10 people giving $500. That's 100 people giving $50. That's 1,000 people giving whatever. Whatever configuration, universe. So these radio waves through KGOE and through Coos Bay and through the podcasting and the stream online and wherever this is ending up, universe, please know that I either need like 50 people to each give $100 or 500 people to give 10 or, you know, 5 people to give $1,000. But whatever, I need $5,000 for this next season, universe. So there we go. I've put it out to the universe. The way it happened is at reallycorrell.com. You click on the GoFundMe. Anything over $1,000 can be tax deductible. You can write it off. So if you got a big tax return or, you know, you're not going to take a summer vacation as long as you thought you were or whatever, you got an extra $500, it really won't hurt. I don't want you to give it to me if it's going to hurt you. Please don't. I worry about some of you people who donate to the show. I worry because liberals are like that. I mean, really. The liberals that support things are the broke ones. The rich liberals, they don't really give any money to anybody. It's the poor liberals that give money to everybody. $5 to here, $10 to there. It's, you know, to your family, to your friends. How many of you, if you ain't got but $100 and a family member calls you and needs 50, they're in a jam and they need it, I mean, or else bad things are happen and you have the 50, how many of you give it to them? I mean, raise your hand. My sister just called needing 200. I gave it to her. Do I have it? No, but she was crying. She needed it, you know? So I need that for Life in Segments. But, you know, when your sister's crying, it's what do you do? So because that's how liberals are. Conservatives give out of hatred. Conservatives give out of fear. The people on the conservative side say, give to us and we will stop these horrible things from happening to you. Liberals say, give to us and we will let these good things happen to you. See the difference? Wow, I just touched on that. This is really true. This is really some mind-blowing crap here. Liberals give money to causes, to family members, to whatever, out of love, out of compassion, out of a desire to make things better, out of a need to support and to care and to give. Conservatives give out of fear and hatred, and that's why they raise more money. Because those emotions, fear and hatred and bigotry, they're stronger and more angry and more urgent. And so they throw more money at it. That's why religion is fear. Give to us or you will go to hell. If you give to us, you won't go to hell. You'll go to heaven. Well, hello. That's fear. See, to support my TV show, the only fear is that I'll go away. I mean, that's just the only fear, is that I can't do the TV show. I can't produce it because Free Speech TV will air as many as I want. So the only thing is will be that I can't produce it, that I can't produce the daily radio show. That's my only fear. But there's no fear of like, if you don't help me with my show, you know, blah, blah, blah is going to happen. No, I'll just go away. That's all that'll happen. But the conservatives, if you don't support my radio show, they're going to take over your community and your kids are going to be all gay lovers and you're going to have to eat collard greens and be a vegetarian because they're going to outlaw cows unless you give me $10 a month. You like cows? You like burgers? You give me $10 a month and that way you can keep eating your damn burgers. That's conservatives. I'm saying if you like entertainment, if you like this voice being out in the world, if you like shoving me down the throat of unsuspecting conservatives, then donate. Go to reallycorrell.com. Give through GoFundMe. That's through for the TV show. The monthly Patreon, that's for the radio show. That's $5 a month. But the other, the GoFundMe, are one-time donations. I'll give you prizes. What do you want? Anyone that donates over $1,000, I'll have at my house. We can have a party. I'm serious. I am so dead ass serious. You donate more than $500, hell, get invited to the house. Well, I'll throw a party. I don't care. I ain't one of those people. I'll give you whatever. You can just come in the house, take crap off. Well, Krill, I donated $5,000. Can I have this? Yes, take it. That's because I don't care. Conservatives, though, they give you nothing but fear for their money. That's all they give you for the money. Fear. They give nothing else. Rush Limbaugh has made $40 million a year terrifying people every morning of the big liberal boogeyman. Fox News has made billions of dollars just making middle America afraid of the big socialist boogeyman that wants to feed them, house them, love them, give them support, give them health care, take care of them should they get sick, take care of them should they lose their job. Yep, I see what they're afraid of. I am Carell. Have a great weekend. If you're in Long Beach, it's Gay Pride. Look for me. I'll be around. Be who you want to be, so long as it doesn't hurt anybody. Tonight, I will be at the opening Pride rally, 7 o'clock on the promenade. I'll also be at the Harvey Milk thing at 11 o'clock downtown Long Beach at the Harvey Milk Plaza today, right now.